Psalm 29, a Psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. So here we have Psalm 29, a psalm that is of David, and really it's a psalm that shows not only the poetic intelligence of David as a psalmist, but we also see his creativity and the way that he brings to us the consideration of the way that the Lord speaks. You know, he starts off with one idea of the Lord speaking, and he's going to hone in to another aspect of the Lord speaking, which we see as we end the psalm. So the psalm divides, beginning with verses 1 and 2, which is a call to adoration or a call of worship that is given not to us at first, but given to the angels. So knowing that this call to worship is something that begins in heaven and begins with angelic beings, it puts distance between us and the psalmist right from the beginning. So, you know, we think here we are, we're gathered, if we were gathered on the Lord's Day and we were gathered for worship, and I read a call to worship and we were all then brought into the presence of God together in that worship, what we see here is that the psalmist is giving a call to worship, but it's a call to worship up there. It's a call to worship among the angels, among the heavenly beings. So he tells them to ascribe to the Lord, covenant name of God, glory and strength. And that glory is something that is due to his name. The Hebrew word for glory is a word that relates to heaviness. You know, so glory comes and it rests upon us, and we feel that heaviness of the glory of God resting upon us. And that's what David does, is he looks to the angels and he says, let that heaviness of God, the glory of God, rest upon you as you give him praise, as you worship him in the splendor of holiness, in the fact that you are in that place where God is present and where God's holiness is seen. So the call to worship starts out there. It starts way distant in the heavens. And then what the psalmist does is he as he goes from heaven, he starts going in and he brings that call to worship and the Lord coming and being a participant with his creation as it works its way into our presence. So verse 3, we see this is 3 to 9. This is God in the midst of the storm. And it begins with the voice of the Lord over the waters. And as the voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory, which we've met in verse 1, he thunders over the waters. So we see the voice of God in the thundering over the waters. And this harkens us back to the creation, doesn't it? Remember that as the 6 days of creation unfold in the beginning of Genesis, we saw that there, the beginning point, or one of the beginning points of that, is that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And here we see that hovering of the Spirit again as the over the face of the deep and the waters. And we're anticipating God speaking. Now, in the creation, as the Spirit hovered and spoke, the world is called into being as the Spirit speaks. And here, in this time, as the Spirit of God speaks and hovering over the waters in this storm, we hear God in the thunder. So in something that is already created, it's as if the voice of the Lord is heard in the thunder. We don't get great thunderstorms in LA. We had one maybe around Christmas time. There was a really, really good thunderstorm. Lots of lightning, loud booms, all that hail and everything. But there's not a lot of them that occur. And here the idea is that as that booming thunder goes forth, it's as if the glory of God is speaking. The Lord is hovering over many waters. And then in 4, the psalmist reflects on that. He says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. You know, we understand that in that booming thunder and then the flash of lightning that would come with it, as God speaks, that is full of majesty. I remember one time coming back from Phoenix, and Phoenix has good storms. They have these fantastic electrical storms where you can be driving out in the desert, you know, middle of nowhere, and the sky is just filling with lightning, and the thunder is crashing as you drive. And we look at that, and that is something that should cause us to give praise. It's something that should cause us to give glory to God. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It is majestic when the voice of the Lord comes forth, even in the midst of the storms. So the psalmist comes closer again, and we see that as the Lord speaks, he's breaking the cedars, even the cedars of Lebanon, which are, you know, in the mind of the ancient Jew, one of the strongest things on the planet. And the Lord breaks these cedars with his voice. He makes it to skip like a calf or like a young wild ox. Now, excuse me, we have in our translation, we have wild ox. That's in the ESV as well as the New King James. The King James has the unicorn. You might remember back from your childhood of the unicorn being in this psalm. And that Hebrew word is a wild cow-like animal with a singular horn. And there's many that will say that what the King James has in mind is the rhinoceros when it says unicorn. So the single horned rhinoceros is what it has in mind. So, you know, if you have friends that are ever like, well, the Bible's ridiculous, here it talks about unicorns, it's not talking about, you know, the rainbow leaping white horse with a horn on its face. It's talking something a little bit uglier but still majestic, which is something like a rhinoceros. So wild ox or something with a singular horn is the best translation of that. But the idea is that the voice of the Lord, it's breaking the cedars, it's making its way into the forest, the cedars are skipping like calves, and then it transitions and it shows us the calves, the older calves, the wild ones, they are also shaking. They're also responding to this voice of the Lord. And then seven, the voice of the Lord flashes in flames of fire, and the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness, or shakes the trees, the wilderness of Kadesh. And then verse 9, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. 8 and 9 are interesting because they're almost exactly the same in Hebrew. There is a difference in what's called vocalization that makes them read differently. But if you look at the Hebrew, you can see that they're very, very similar, and there's vocalization that's different. So whether it's the shaking of the trees or the causing of the deer to give birth, those are very, very similar grammatically. And that's important because we know the voice of the Lord, the Spirit of God, is the one that cares enough for the creation, even to the point where the deer are giving birth through the help of the Spirit. One commentator talked about these ancient deer, the hinds. You know, hinds feed on high places. The ancient hind, when the female would give birth, they bow down as they give birth. And it's almost like this posture of worship that the psalmist is thinking of as he talks about how the Spirit of God is even having the deer to give birth. So again, the voice of the Lord way out here, called to worship in heaven, angels called to worship. That voice comes and it gets closer and closer and closer. And as it makes its way, notice that in all that we've heard so far, there hasn't been any reference to humanity. There hasn't been a reference to the image of God. There hasn't been a reference to those that are called to worship him, that are people. And yet the psalm, or this part of the psalm, ends in verse 9 within the temple. And what do we hear in the temple? The voice of the Lord causes the cry glory. There's a crying forth of those within the presence of God saying glory. Now, why is that important? Why that's important is because we started way out here in heaven, and we've worked ourselves into that place that is the presence of God for humanity. And that voice of the Lord, or the Spirit of the Lord, that was illustrated by the by way of thunder, is now being illustrated by way of the Word of God going forth to his people. So that voice of the Lord also goes forth in the temple. But it's not just thunder. It's the Word of God going forth. And how are the people of God to respond to the voice of the Lord going forth in his presence as the people of God are gathered? The answer is glory. We're to give glory to God as his word goes forth, as it's preached, and as we hear it read, and as we sing it, and as we pray according to it, and as we take it in as the worshipers of God. So there's this poetic description of the storm, and then we apply that in the same way to the people of God who give glory. Now, those who give glory to God in hearing the voice of the Lord are those that have bowed their knee, similarly to the ancient hind, as the ancient hind bows in worship as she gives birth. The people of God bow under the kingship of the one who is coming as the Messiah. And that's how the psalm ends. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The flood is the response of this storm that we followed in from heaven the thunder and the lightning, the rains that have come with it. And as we look out, and you know, we know at least good rainstorms when they happen. It results in flooding, doesn't it? And as the flooding occurs, the Lord sits enthroned over that, and He is King over that. And we are reminded that the psalmist cries out, "May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace." So that which began in the psalm, Psalm 29, with something of fear, as the voice of the Lord comes forth in thunder, something that often scares people, it ends in peace. The Lord blessing and pouring out blessing upon His people. It's the Lord will bless His people. It's the benediction being spoken upon them in peace. So it ends with this blessing of assurance in verse 11, with a reflection on the strength and the glory of God. And as we do this, as we're there in His presence and we're crying out glory, we realize that the church of Christ will be upheld by His strength, and that He will bless His people with peace, even in the midst of great storms. So Psalm 29, a great one to pull out if you're ever in the midst of a thunderstorm, or if we have a rare one here in LA, something to sing to the children, something of great remembrance of the peace that Christ gives to His people as we cry out glory.